Genesis 48, 1 to 22. I've looked at this passage with regard to Jacob and his dying testimony, the bestowal of his property, the testimony he made to Joseph and his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now I want to speak of these two boys. I want to speak of Jacob, Israel, blessing these two boys before he dies. Of course, we're living in the days of the patriarchs. We're living in the days of the patriarchal blessings. You remember that Isaac has blessed Jacob and Esau. You know that Abraham himself was blessed by Melchizedek. And in these days, these blessings were real bestowals. That age is past for us now. We live in a different time. But at this stage, with the patriarchs, Jacob, Israel, knows he can bestow a blessing upon Joseph's sons. And Manasseh and Ephraim are presented to him. I've commented on Joseph wisely, spiritually, taking these two young people to see his aged father on the verge of death, and the importance of that, and how Jacob improved it, used it, got profit out of it, and spoke spiritually of God to these boys. And now the time comes for blessing. So Joseph, we read in verse 1, took his two sons, and of course he took Manasseh and Ephraim along with him. That's what it says. Manasseh was the firstborn. And he's first in the order here. It's Manasseh and then Ephraim. But you will notice that when Jacob, Israel, speaks, verse 5 and 6, now then, your two sons born to you in Egypt before I came to you here will be reckoned as mine. They'll be reckoned as mine just as Reuben and Simeon are mine. Well, Jacob is saying to his son Joseph, these two boys now are not, in a sense, your sons anymore. They are your brothers. They're going to be part of the rank of Reuben and Simeon, Benjamin, and you yourself, Joseph. But notice how Jacob speaks of these boys. He does not say Manasseh and Ephraim. He says Ephraim and Manasseh. Later children of yours anymore, they're yours. But these two boys are my sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, Joseph presents his sons to Israel, his father. And there's worship of God, there's respect, and all this solemnity as Jacob is on the verge of death. And then we come to 12 and 13, when Joseph takes the two boys, and the passage makes it very clear how he arranged it so that he chose Ephraim and Manasseh in his right and left hand, as it were. He chose Ephraim on his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left hand towards Israel's right hand. It's so that when Jacob, who was losing his sight, comes to place his hand, naturally his right hand will fall on the elder Manasseh. But Jacob, Israel, does something remarkable. He crosses his arms. And he put his left hand on Manasseh's hand, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. That's how it's said in verse 14. Verse 17, Joseph is said, no, this is wrong. You got the wrong way around, Dad. No, Father, you got the wrong way around. Put it the way around, because I put it the right way. No. But his father, 19, refused and said, I know, my son, I know. Yes, Manasseh too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, he was placing Ephraim over, in precedence, Manasseh. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, "In your name, Israel, will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh." So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh, and then he bestowed his property, his land that he had in Canaan, to Joseph. Now what is this blessing? Verse 15, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name, that is Israel, and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth." What's happening here? Well, it's the covenant. It's the Abrahamic covenant. Jacob, when he was a young man with Esau, valued the birthright. There was something tremendous in this covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And now it's going down through Ephraim. It's not Egypt. It's Canaan. But of course, ultimately, it's not even Canaan. It's Christ. Ultimately, it's not even David. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going on here. Whether Jacob fully understands all these things, I'm very doubtful. But God understands it, and God is ordering all events. Jacob's little life, Joseph's little life, Ephraim and Manasseh's little affairs, they're all in the plan and purpose of God. Brother and sister, it's the same with us. Your little life today and mine. Your little trials and afflictions and circumstances and mine. Your little service for God and mine too, my little service. All these things are in God's hand, and he is working his purpose out. Jacob, you see, Israel, has his eye to this covenant. Think what's going on in Egypt at this time with Pharaoh. Think about Tutankhamun. Think about the pyramids. Think about these burial sites. They've got to take everything with them, because that is their heaven. For the godly, there is something massive in God which cannot be found in this world. Of course, it's Canaan, yes. But as the Bible makes very clear, it's not even Canaan. Abraham rejoiced in Christ to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Yes, the prophets and the patriarchs, they saw dimly, Peter tells us. They knew that they were speaking of something greater than themselves. Compare Tutankhamun, the pharaohs, with Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh. My land I bestowed to you. There is living in the land, yes, but it's this eternal, everlasting, glorious covenant with Abraham, which of course leads to the new covenant in Christ. This is what's going on here. I'm out of my depth with this passage, an experience I know nothing about. I just read of it in Scripture. But I see how these men valued, treasured the promise and the power of God to perform his promise. And they relied upon God. May the God before whom my fathers and Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. And so on. May they take the name of Israel. May they take my name. And may it go on and on until one day the great Israelite will come, the true Messiah, the anointed one, Christ himself. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, these passages speak of the glorious return, as it were, the glorious return of all these prophecies, the accomplishment of them all, and Christ the great King. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God. This is what's going on here. And it's all come on the head and into the hands of Ephraim, through Joseph, through Jacob, through Isaac, through Abraham, from God. Brother and sister, we're caught in this. Isn't it wonderful? We live in the days of the New Covenant. We look back, but this same God is our God, the God of Abraham, praise, the God of Jacob, the God of Ephraim, praise. He is our God, and he shall be our God forever and ever. Unbeliever, Isaac Watts wrote a hymn, and he said, I would not change my blessed estate for all the world, coarse, good or great. Come to Christ and know this glorious covenant is yours. Amen.